Translation by His Divine Grace, Sisi Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. While the king was thus repenting, he received the news of his imminent death, which will be due to the bite of a snake bird, occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as good news, for it will be the cause of his indifference toward worldly things. Purport: real happiness is achieved by spiritual existence or by cessation of the repetition of birth and death. One can stop the repetition of birth and death only by going back to Godhead. In the material world, even by attaining the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, one cannot get rid of the condition of repeated birth and death. But still, we do not accept the path of attaining perfection. The path of attaining perfection frees one from all material attachments, and thus one becomes fit to enter into the spiritual kingdom. Therefore, those who are materially poverty-stricken are better candidates than those who are materially prosperous. Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of the Lord and a bona fide candidate for entering into the kingdom of God. But even though he was so, his material assets as the emperor of the world were setbacks to perfect attainment of his rightful status of one of the associates of the Lord in the spiritual sky. As a devotee of the Lord, he could understand that the cursing of the Brahmana boy, although unwise, was a blessing upon him, being the curse of detachment, or the cause of detachment from worldly affairs, both political and social. Shamika Muni also, after regretting the incident, conveyed the news to the king as a matter of duty, so that the king would be able to prepare himself to go back to Godhead. Shamika Muni sent news to the king that foolish Sringi, his son, although a powerful Brahmana boy, unfortunately has misused his spiritual power by cursing the king unwarrantedly. The incident of the king's garlanding the Muni was not sufficient cause for being cursed to death, but since there was no way to retract the curse, the king was informed to prepare for death within a week. Both Shamika Muni and the king were self-realized souls. Shamika Muni was a mystic and Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee. Therefore, there was no difference between them in self-realization. Neither of them was afraid of meeting death. Maharaj Parikshit could have gone to the Muni to beg his pardon. But the news of imminent death was conveyed by the king with so much regret by the Muni that the king did not want to shame the Muni further by his presence there. He decided to prepare himself for his imminent death and find out the way to go back to Godhead. The life of a human being is a chance to prepare oneself to go back to Godhead or to get rid of the material existence, the repetition of birth and death. This, in the system of Varnashram Dharma, every man and woman is trained for this purpose. In other words, the system of Varnashram Dharma is known as also Sanatam Dharma or the eternal occupation. The system of Varnashram Dharma prepares a man for going back to Godhead, and thus a householder is ordered to go to the forest of Varnaprastha to acquire complete knowledge and then to take sannyas prior to his inevitable death. Parikshit Maharaj was fortunate to get a 7-day notice to meet his inevitable death. But for the common man, there is no definitive notice, although death is inevitable for all. Foolish men forget this sure fact of death and neglect the duty of preparing themselves for going back to Godhead. They spoil their lives in animal propensities to eat, drink, be merry and enjoy. Such an irresponsible life is adopted by the people in the age of Kali because of a sinful desire to condemn Brahmanical culture. God consciousness and co-protection, for which the state is responsible. The state must employ revenue to advance their three items and thus educate the populace to prepare for death. The state which does so is the real welfare state. The state of India should better follow the examples of Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal executive head, than to imitate other materialistic states which have no idea of the kingdom of Godhead, the ultimate goal of human life. Deterioration of the ideals of Indian civilization has brought about the determination of civic life, not only in India, but also abroad. Om Agyanti Milandasya Ganangala Shalakaya Shakshulimitam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Shitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Datatas Vibadam Tikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shirada Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Karpata Rubhyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he describes the purport, this verse as follows in his purport. He says that the messenger sent to Parikshit Maharaj was one of his disciples called Gauramukha. And Gauramukha, he tell it to the king that he has to die in 7 days because of a curse of the sun. So King Maharaj Parikshit was able to tolerate. How is it said in the Sanskrit of this verse? It says by the word Viraktir. So Viraktir is one of the 9 Anubhav. And the list is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The list is in the Nectar of Devotion. It's also in the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And those are like symptoms, valuable symptoms to notice if someone is advanced in spiritual life. So they go as follows. We can recite them together. So it's Kshantir, Avyarta Kaladvam, Viraktir, Manya Shunyata, Ashabanda, Samutkanta, Namaya Gane Sadaruchi, Ashaktistad Vasitistare, Priti Ashaktistad Gunakyane, Pritistad Vasitistare, Iti Adaryor Nubavasur, Jata Bhavankure Jane. So Kshantir is compassion. Kshantir, it's like that. is also told us perseverance. Avyata Kaladvam is using time for devotional service. After that, there is Viraktir. This is the one who is interesting ourselves. Viraktir means complete renunciation, detachment. Here it's described as indifference. After that, there is Manya Shunyata. It means that we are pridelessness. There is pridelessness. So, last time we were differentiating pridelessness from humility. Pridelessness basically means in a good position, I don't feel the happiness that arising from the opulence that I have. But in humility, I feel happiness to be in a lower position. So, after that, there is taste for the holy name. After that, there is attachment to describe the glories of the Lord. After that, there is attachment for the place of pilgrimage of the Lord. So those are the nine and above us. And here, why I'm saying that, it's because in the Nectar of Devotion, the full translation given by Banu Swami is giving that Parikshit Maharaj also is the complete representation of Viraktir. Because at the moment that he learned that he has to renounce everything, his position of kings, his opulence, his families, his servants, his wives, his friends, his comfort, he has to go and prepare himself. He's taking not that as a curse, but as a mercy. So the total opposite of a common man will take that. So he was, in fact, indifferent. So we may ask ourselves, with that those Anubhavas, is a Mahatma, is a pure devotee, can be rubber stamped if he's presenting those symptoms. Sometimes we hear that it's not possible to rubber stamp a guru because he has to be self-effusant. By some council, administrative council, the guru can be acknowledged. Like this. The Mahatma cannot be trusted like that. But actually, we have to say that if during a certain amount of years, someone is genuinely presenting several symptoms of pure devotional service, that means there is a great chance that he is a Mahatma. So if someone in the life, in temple life, during many years, is genuinely performing devotional service, while presenting symptoms like Anubhav, we can genuinely categorize him as a Mahatma. So, rubber stamp can be there. It can be also a valuable proof. It's not that we decide from with no symptoms, with no valuable reserve. No, we analyze someone through times. He is able to be genuinely categorized as a good soul. So, man manas tumam parta devim prakritim ashritaa pajanti ananya manaso gendva bhutadum avyayam. That verse, it says that the Mahatma is taking shelter of the internal energy. He's taking shelter of Krishna's internal potency. Oh, he's doing that? He's doing that by ananya manaso. That means his mind is always firmly engaged in the thought of Krishna. It is his protection. It is his shelter. And why is doing that? Because Gnadva Bhutadum Avyayam. He knows that Krishna is the inexhaustible and imperishable source of all creation. He is the origin of all happiness. He is the origin of everything. So no matter what happens in my life, I should therefore consider that from Krishna. So this is the spiritual perspective of a Mahatma. But in the Gita, if we look at the verse just right after, what the verse is says is Satatam Kirtayan Tumam Yatanta Shtadiridra Vartaa Namasanta Shtamam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasati. So this verse, right after, is explaining us what are the characteristics of a Mahatma. How he is able to engage constantly in thought of Krishna in order to overcome the discrepancies of the day-to-day life in the material world, to rise above the cycle of birth and death. So, he's doing that. He's doing that by Satatam Kirtayantumam, always chanting the glories of the Holy Name, always chanting the glories of the Lord, of the devotees of the Lord, of the Tadiya, what is related to the Lord, like Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj did exactly that. When he went to the bank of the river, he was thinking, I need to enter in meditation. But sages, being omniscient, they perceive that the king, they also heard about the news that the king is now performing tapasya, is now performing devotional service in remembrance. So we should come and help him. So he get the mercy. That's one thing. He get the mercy of the devotees. And at that moment, Shukadev Goswami came. And what did Maharaj Parikshit Maharaj? He did is he inquired about the glories of the Lord. He was hearing about the glories of the Lord. And he was asking many questions. The first question that he was asking is, what one should perform in order to go back to Godhead? What is the process? So, the question is of great importance. And what Maharaj Parikshit did, he not only was asked one question, he was not satisfied. He was considering that Shukadev Goswami came and hearing about the glories of the Lord was the best mean to go back home to Godhead. We know that Antacha Mam Kalam Anchakale Mams Anta Antecha Kamam Antakale Chamam Evam Samaram Mugva Karivaram. So at the time of death, one who is remembering the Lord is going back to Godhead. So knowing that, Parikshit Maharaj prepare his destination. So he hear, he chant the glory, he makes someone chant the glories of the Lord. In this way, his mind is absorbed. In this way, there is no place for Prajalpa in his last moment of his life. What after came? Yatanta Shadidra Vata. Determination in endeavoring for the Lord. So, it was expressed by Parikshit Maharaj. It was expressed because he was trying to get out from Shukadev's mouth the most purifying nectar by asking repetitive inquiring. And what comes after? Namasyantastamam Bhaktya, to present obeisances with devotion. So when the mind is absorbed in repetitive obeisances, he acknowledges little by little that the Lord is his authority. So he does not start to speculate by himself anymore. His thoughts are redirected, they are put under the guidance of the devotees of the Lord and of the Lord. So he does not consider himself the mind, does not make further repetitive thought about me, mine, and I am in the center. because by repetitive obeisances, I place myself into the position of a servant, and that is going little by little into the mind. So those three things, those three way to perform bhakti are a good way to become a mahatma, to perform always ananya manaso. So one question that I want to ask is, in this Sanskrit, there is prasaktasya. Prasaktasya is for one who is too attached. So, of course, here we are in difference, but Prabhupada says in the purport that great material assets actually, Jai Jai Sri Radha Gokulananda Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Goranitai Ki. That's one powerful quote from the purport. Those who are materially poverty stricken are better candidate than those who are materially prosperous. So the question that I was asking myself when I read that, we heard that when devotees come into the world, they may take place into rich families, into aristocratic families. So, if it's a disqualification to be rich, to be in opulences, why those after some advancement yogis have to take birth into those families? One time, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked the question by a letter to Prabhupada, and he asked the question, who were you in your past life? Prabhupada replied by letters that, why do you ask me this question? Do you consider myself to be subjected to the laws of karma? I heard one day that an astrologer told me that in my past life I was a sinless scientist, a physician, a sinless physician. And Prabhupada replied to Atamal Krishna, as far as I'm concerned, concerning my past life, I don't know who I am, but one thing is sure, is I've been born into an aristocratic and a spiritualist family. So that means before I was already advanced. So we have to understand that devotees take birth into aristocratic family, into spiritualist family, because there is one thing which it says, Tatratam buddhisam yogam labante purva deikam. That means, through reincarnation, the devotee is keeping his level of consciousness. So if he is keeping his level of consciousness, that means he's able to, despite the fact there is opulences, to engage them for the benefit of the Lord. He will not misuse his pious activities, like Parikshit Maharaj. So that is one way to see. The devotees can use in a good way the opulences which is presented to him, like Giriraj Maharaj. Was a millionaire, and he refused those opulences. Like Ambarish Maharaj from the Ford family, was able to engage the wealth of his family for the pleasure of Prabhupada, for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It does not always happen like that, but this propensity can be keep in the heart of the devotee to use properly his pious activities despite the fact that opulences can make you proud. Janmeshvarya Shuta Shibir Edam Adam Mada Puman Evarati Abhitatum Ved Vama Kitshana Gocharam. That means Janma, birth, Shri, opulences, Shruta, education, all those things can make you intoxicated by pride. So, someone who is poverty stricken, this verse is confirming what Prabhupada says, come more easily toward the Lord with sincere feeling. There is a verse told by Vritrasur, and he says, "Ajata pakshaiva mataram kaga." My dear Lord, I'm crying for your presence, for your help, like a bird in a nest, a little bird, a baby bird in the nest. We have to understand that our condition is pretty much like a baby bird. If you want to go outside from the cycle of birth and death, you have no chance by yourself. So you have to ask and repeatedly manifest your eagerness to be safe from the Lord. After that, Vritrasura will say, Stanamyata vatsatarakshudalta. I'm like a cow tied with a rope to a tree. That means a cow, the calves attached to the tree by a rope when it's time for her, for the calves to take the milk from the cows. The calves became very disturbed. It's only thinking about that. Oh, at the time to when I will reach the cows. So in the same way, similarly, the devotees is tied with the ropes of material nature. But his eagerness to rush toward the Lord is there. As soon as he has the opportunity to be liberated, he rushed toward the Lord. So as soon as we receive the mercy from the devotees, we should rush toward purification. We should rush toward hearing, chanting, during the process of bhakti. This is how we should see that. And after that, Vritrasura says a last analogy. He says, Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishana. Priyam Priyeva means I'm in the position of someone who has a husband, a beloved husband, but the husband is far away. So in this way, in our first analogy, there were the inability of the bird to go back to Godhead, to go to see the Lord. In the second analogy of the calves, there were a lack of freedom. There was the ability, but not the possibility. But in the third analogy, there is the possibility and the ability to go toward the husband, which is Krishna. But the thing is, Sita, for example, has the ability, has the possibility to return to Rama, her husband. But she did not do. You remember when Hanuman came, find her, rescue her, she told Sita, I can take you right now, back to Rama. That's it. But Sita, Devi is told, no, I don't want to go back. My husband has to come for me. My husband has to show his glories. It will be more glorious if my husband come to pick me up than if I go and to see him by myself, if you bring me back. So in that way, the devotee has the pride to think that the Lord may descend for him to reveal his form. He has the transcendental pride to ask the Lord to come. He says to the Lord, I'm so fallen, the devotee says to them, I'm so fallen that it will be your glory to come and to save me. Because by saving me, you will show how much you are compassionate. In this way, Vritrasura was praying. In this way, we have to see that we may use or not use the opulences. It happens that in the past life of Prahlad Maharaj, for example, he was a materialistic person before he was a devotee of Nrisimhadev. He was born into a Brahmana family, a great Brahmana who were sinless. But because he has the materialistic propensity, mentality, he was induced into a sexual intercourse with a prostitute. And he was enamored with her. So he was spending all his time. Therefore, after some times, they had a dispute and together broke. But Pranam Maharaj was absorbed in the thought of her. And he was not able to sleep the day of Nishingadev's appearance. Of course, from the previous ages. So, in this way, Pranam Maharaj was performing bhakti unknowingly. So, he has been born into a great devotee in the next life and he received Narada Muni's mercy. So, it means that either you have opulence or not, if you don't receive the mercy of the devotees, if you are not able to perform bhakti, your opulence are nothing. Your poverty are nothing. It means nothing. But the thing is, why poverty stricken is a blessing? It's because it creates a dependence toward the Lord. When I have opulences, I may feel that I am a little bit independent concerning my happiness. So, I want to go and ask yourself, what is the best moment of your life? Do you remember the happiest moment of your life? As far as I'm concerned, when I ask those questions into the street, most of the people face things which is not related to material things. They don't talk about cars. They don't talk about music. They don't talk so much even about health, about their bodies. Actually, what they talk about generally is about emotions. About all their mindset was able to be happy. So we have to understand that opulences are not really there to facilitate our happiness so much. Because in the long-term perspective, what is the samskara remaining in our mind? It's actually the relationship, the emotional exchange that we had with people. And those objects are maybe a support for that, but in themselves they are inert, they are dull. So they are not really able to satisfy the propensities to be happy from the soul. So, if we have to go a little bit further, that means that opulences are less equipped to satisfy the soul than emotional exchange. But what is emotional exchange is actually rasa. This is the juice, this is the nectar that we get. So when it's perverted, rasa takes the form of mundane exchange, but when it's directed to the Lord, it takes all his completude. So we have to understand that when you ask yourself what is the most appealing time where that you get in your life, a lot of people will say that when they were children, they were the most happy, especially when you got old, you know. When you are young, I was more happy. But be honest, when we are a child, we have no independence, we have no so much opulences, we are not strong, we are weak, we are not intelligent, we are mostly ignorant. And we don't have personal belonging. Because everything belongs to authorities. No independence, no wealth, no intelligence, no security. But what is the happiness of the child is attention, is emotional relationship, which is somehow pure, somehow. Because the motives of the mother, of the parents, are less materially constituted than or those relationships that we can find in the world. So the motives of our exchange are also bringing quality. So the quality of our relationship will determine mostly our happiness in our material life and also in our spiritual life. So we have to understand that what Parikshit Maharaj will do is Nigalma kalpataror galitam phalam. Sukha mukad amrita darava samyutam. Pibata bhagavatam rasamarayam. Muhu aro rasika buvi bavuka. What does that mean? That means that the Vedic literatures, the desire tree of the Vedic literatures, they have been given through, they have given us the mature fruit on the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from the mouth of Shuka, which is like is described like a parrot, the parrot has the propensity to take many fruits into the trees. So his beak is tainted with the fragrance of those fruits. In the same way, when the parrot is picking Krishna Katha, the fragrance for he has having tasted so many fruits from the Vedic literature has a special fragrance. So that he will give a special rasa. And what is that rasa? Is Amrita Dharava Samyutam. Amrita Dharava means semi-liquid. When you give food to a baby in order that he digests that easily, you turn the food into something liquid. Like this, he doesn't have to chomp. And that Bhagavatam is the same for us. We can digest it really easily, because it's liquid. We don't have to masticate. We don't have to speculate. It's just full of Krishna Katha every line. So in this way, Sukhamukha, the mouth of Shukadev Goswami, will impart Krishna Katha, the glories of the Lord, to Parikshit Maharaj with such an intensity that Arsika Bhuvi Bhavuka, that those who are expert in relishing rasa, they will take most pleasure in that thing. It's not only that, it's pibata bhagavatam alaram. That means that those who like to take pleasure in themselves, those who are already liberated, they will take pleasure in Bhagavatam, in rasa, in glories of Krishna. Why? Because in bhakti, the fruits of liberation is already contained. So naturally, they will appreciate that. And Bhuvi Bhavuka, those who are expert in tasting the relationship of the Lord, they will also take pleasure into those Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Maharaj received the mercy, like Prahlad Maharaj received the mercy before, because despite the fact that they had both Prahlad Maharaj or Parikshit opulences, they have received the causeless mercy of the devotees. And in that way, they attain the highest, topmost elevated position of associate to the Lord, intimate associate of the Lord. So I just want to close on this, is that we have five types of consciousness. And we have to understand that, as I said before, material objects is anamaya, the food. In society, it means economic development. I produce a lot of food. I fill the belly of people. They are happy like that. But it's a small amount of happiness. After, when we grow, the child grow, he perceive further not only life by food, but he perceive life as also himself. He notice that he is existing. And this is pranamaya. That consciousness, that type of happiness, is depending upon security. So modern state, they provide the security that we need. And generally, people are happy when they feel secure. So when the baby is feeling that by the embrace of his beloved parents, he's secured, he's feeling happy. After what? After there is manomaya, the happiness enjoyed by the mind, by the mundane knowledge, by the speculation. So this is provided also by the society, the modern society. But if we have to go further into aspects which are taking completely our nature, ourselves, we have to go into spiritual knowledge, Vijnana Maya. And this happiness is not provided in our society. So people are misled because they think that the first three types of happiness are the happiness of this world. But they don't know that there is higher happiness. So they are looking for pieces of glass when there is actually diamond, especially in the heart. So it's easily accessible for someone who can relate to the devotees. So after Vijnana Maya, spiritual knowledge, there is Ananda Maya, and this is the bliss that we experiment by rasa. That means there is two types of rasa, the rasa that we maintain by sadhana, and the rasa that we maintain by realization. This is the most important rasa, because obviously we know ourselves, we know the Lord, His qualities, and we are experimenting the bliss to be in His company. So it's wonderful. So those five states of consciousness, they are more and more subtle. And as I said, emotions are giving better happiness to even mundane people than objects. So that means the more we go into higher aspects of our being, the more it's complete and the more it's able to satisfy our souls, our body, etc. So the devotee, he changed the holy name, and I will conclude on that, because have you noticed that the sound as the primary material elements among the fives, through ether, it's even before ether actually, is able to go and to transform every aspect of the life. If you put some sound, special sound, the snow, the particle of snow will take some different shapes according to the sound. So if you put different type of music, the form of the crystal particle of snow will take different form. That means sound is able to morph material elements. If you put sound to immobile living entities like the plants, they will rather grow or not grow. It will impact their growth. That means it's not only impacting inert material object, but it's also imparting the bodies of living entities. So when we chant the holy name of the Lord, it's able to transform our material characteristic. And what is material characteristic is karma. So we are transforming the karma of people when we chant the holy name. And that has been proven by Prabhupada when he was in the Bori, and throughout his life, he made hippies happy. They were with beards. They were not so attractive. And when people chant the holy name, even if they are not beautiful, they are actually attractive. Naturally. And that is the real beauty, to be attractive. If you are somehow externally good, but you are not attractive, you are less beautiful than someone who has in the external aspect doesn't look good, but is attracting you. So he's really beautiful. He's not only really beautiful, he's out of the ignorance. He knows how to describe himself. If you go into the street and you ask, who are you? People say, I'm Dev, I am Intel, I am that age, and I'm that profession. But this is not really describing himself. And to go into further aspect of himself, he will start to say, I'm a sportman, I like to do that, I don't like to do this, and so on, to describe. But those things are still partial. But when we are in relatives, they are dependent of the time, circumstances. But when we are speaking about spiritual subject matter, I am an internal servant of the Lord, this is absolute. This is independent of every circumstances. So devotees, they know that. They know what is the happiness they need to be complete in life, to be satisfied. So when we change the holy name, we transform people into attractive. They can be transformed into attractive people. They can become conscious of their self. They can find better happiness. And they can get rid of the past offenses that they made. So to finish on that, Parikshit Maharaj, because he has received the mercy of the devotees, was able to get the perfection of life. And by the only name, we can also be first, we can attain perfection of life, and we can transform the life of everybody. So that's, I'm sorry to hold you. It's already 40. If you want to take prasadam, you can go. If there is any question, you can. Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you. Very nice class. I just have one question. What is, you know, you were mentioning transcendental pride. What is transcendental pride, and how can we use that, like, for our spiritual benefit?
I think this is like an elevated subject matter, like transcendental pride. Sita was sure by her service, by her dedication, to attract the Lord. So she was able to make him more glorious and to stay at her place, because she knew that her devotion was so great that the Lord was forced to come and pick her. That way, Vritrasura was speaking. By my devotional service, I'm sure that my Lord, you will come and you will take me to the spiritual world. But somehow, at some point, the devotees needs a little bit of transcendental pride. Because transcendental pride means I have a hope that despite my meek situation, despite I'm lacking of intelligence, despite the fact that I'm dull, despite the fact I committed so many offenses, the Lord can still come and take me personally. So in that way, it can be used as a hope. Okay. Antaram Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Sukadev Goswami Parikshit Maharaj ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Haribol.